If you turn to your Bibles, we'll have it on the screen, Psalm 67. We're going to have a dedication in a moment and bring blessing to a child. Isn't that great? But who else would like to be blessed this morning? Our God is into the business of blessing his people. How good is that? So be ready to receive the blessing of heaven on your life as we read this word. I'll start with my word now. Let's stand. Come on, you've been lazy the last two songs. Stand. When I was in a choir singing in front of 2,000 people, I would tell you, our choir master said, you need to stand to sing. Get the breath in your lungs. Come on, breathe. Don't keep breathing in. You sometimes need to breathe out, you know. Okay, let's say this together. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us so that your ways may be made known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. Next slide. Three more verses. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Please be seated. Well done. You read very well. This is God's word. You will be enriched because you've actually spoken out the word of God. That's how wonderful it is. So you've already received a blessing. The psalm that we're looking at reflects the blessing, the Aaronic blessing, the Aaronic priest who were to pronounce over Israel. So I've read in my Bible this morning in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 that I am a royal priest. Okay. Any royal priest here this morning? Well, let's stand again then. If you're a priest of the Aaronic nature, well, maybe not Aaronic, but maybe the Jesus nature. Okay, let's have the next. Yeah, that's it. Let's pray it over each other. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Please be seated. Wow, you're on form today. That's beautiful. Let's go back to the psalm at verse 1 to 4, and we'll look at this. But also this psalm, oh, get ready for it, is rooted in God's covenant promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. So stand again. Okay, just this is the last time, unless you're coming for salvation or healing or something. Okay. I don't think I've got this one. Have I got this one? Oh, I haven't got this one. Sit down. Just can't get the staff these days, can you? But also, yeah, and I will, you can say it after me. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. And make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. He went quiet then. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So let's get into this psalm. Oh, this is a beautiful, beautiful psalm. It's come alive to me the last few weeks or last few days, and it's good. The first verse, we see seeking the blessing of God. Seeking. We must be seeking the blessing of God on us, the blessing of joy on us. Hallelujah. So do that today, right now. If you've not done it before you came, this prayer is not selfish. When you pray God to bless you, you are not being selfish. Get that out of your head right now. May God be gracious and kind-hearted to us and bless us. I love this one. God, keep us near your mercy fountain and bless us. Who's coming to the mercy fountain this morning and drinking from the well of salvation that has never run dry? Charles Simeon, a great commentator on the scriptures, interprets this prayer to be for the advent of Messiah to his people and his manifestation to all the world. God's face would shine on his people in the person of Christ, who is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Some of you will have heard of the Mount Transfiguration, when the three disciples went with Jesus to the top of the mountain. I've been there. If it's the right one, it might not be the right one, but I've been there. They call it that. But I tell you what, something happened on that day. Moses appeared, somebody who died, and yet he was still alive. And Elijah, who had never died, appeared. Isn't that fantastic? And that's a sign of the second coming, isn't it? What's going to happen when Jesus returns, the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are living shall be caught up with him. But then they were sort of making a thing. The disciples would say, oh, let's put an altar for these guys. But Jesus said, well, Jesus didn't say anything. Suddenly they disappeared, and the glory and the light and the blessing and the majesty of Jesus was seen. And you couldn't see anyone except Jesus. And the brightness was so great, it was greater than the sun. This is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. This is wonderful. And so make his face shine with favor on us. Do you know you are people of favor? Just receive it. May his smile be upon us, and when you look down upon us, may your face beam with joy. Can you see Jesus beaming with joy over his church all over the world today? The blessings prayed for here are to us. It's not the personal pronoun, it's the plural pronoun, us. The prayer is for God's chosen people, Israel, to be blessed. The aim of God's blessing, which we'll look at in a moment, that his way and salvation would be known among all nations, cannot be accomplished by individuals working independently or in isolation, but only by his people together. Yes, together. Lord, bless us. He's not blessed me, but bless us. I often encounter Christians who think they don't need church. Often they've been hurt or disappointed by church. Who hasn't? They're afraid that if they get involved closely with other Christians, they'll hurt again. So at best, they attend church like they go to the cinema or to the theatre, coming and going without getting to know anyone very well. Or at worst, they avoid the church altogether and get the teaching they need from the internet or the radio. But the Bible is clear, brothers and sisters, that we cannot experience God's full blessing if we isolate ourselves from his people. And his blessing will not go from us to the nations unless we are strong as a church. We've got to be strong, brothers and sisters. God's blessing does not go to the nations through us. And if God's blessing does not go to the nations through us, we are not helping fulfill his purpose of being glorified in every people group. Because that's the will of God. Because doesn't he say, as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Second verse, even very special here, spreading the joy, spreading the blessing to others. We used to sing a song, we bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and you find it in Hebrews chapter 13. Bring joy, joy. I come here for joy. Amen? Joy, joy in the house of the Lord. So that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation and deliverance among all nations. Send us out all over the world, one translation says, so that everyone, everywhere, will discover your ways and know who you are and see your power to save. That's good. John Piper, I'm going to refer to him two or three times, but he puts it like this. If we are not real and deep and fervent in our worship of God, we will not commend him among the peoples with genuineness. How can you say to the nations, be glad in God, if you are not glad in God? Yeah? We can't honestly pray, let the peoples praise you, O God, if we are not people of praise. I think this morning we've seen that we are people of joy and we're people of praise. That's why we come together. To praise the King, to praise the one who is worthy of our praises. When I was a teenager, I read, and you need to, you know, if you've not read this story, you've missed out. George Muller, who was he was over the orphanages in Bristol, I think it was. If we are not people of praise, George Muller His first business every morning, as you read in his biography, his first business every morning was to secure happiness in God through time in God's word and prayer. Simple, isn't it? Simple. So if you're a miserable Christian, listen, get into God's word, get into prayer, do some praying, and your life will change and you will read. This is what he said. He taught that, this is what A.T. Pearson refers to him as said. He taught that God alone is the one all-satisfying portion of the soul, and that we must determine to possess and enjoy him as such. Yeah, come on, enjoy Jesus as much as you can, and the people will see the radiance on your face. They will see Jesus in you. Honestly, they will. It's the truth. Praise God. So, spreading his praise. Verse 2, it goes on, that your way may be known on the earth, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all peoples. If people worship gods of their own making or imagination, then one true God will not be praised. To sing his praises, people must know him as he's revealed in his word. We don't make this up as we go along in Hebron, you know. Everything we say here is from the word of God. And when you read the word of God, you see that God is God. You know, he flung billions of stars into space and he names them. Have you ever done that? Have you ever named a star? Billions, and he's named every one of them. Oh, I'm in awe of him when I realize how big and how great he is. But they, the world, they must know his ways and salvation. And Paul asks a question in Romans 10, 14, 15. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? I do not repent of preaching the gospel in this church and outside wherever I go. I don't repent of telling people they're going to hell if they don't believe in Jesus, because that's the gospel, that Jesus died for them on the cross to save them from eternal destruction and to give them eternal life. How will they hear? So it's up to you, folks. We go out today with joy and we share this good news, this truth of this good news, this joy of the Lord. And don't just do it with your actions. It's rubbish when people misquote that saying, and if necessary, use words. Of course it's necessary. How will they hear? The preaching of the word. Okay, let's see. So pray for God to raise up workers. He sees the fields are white unto harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. Ask him right now to thrust forth laborers into the harvest field. Those who are going away this week, you're going as missionaries. Realize that we're sending you as missionaries. Otherwise, I wouldn't have prayed for you. If you're not going as missionaries, I'm going to take my prayer back. I'm joking. But really, go. You go into the world as God's people, and that's beautiful. Spreading the joy of eternal life. Pray for faithful supporters. And some of you need to dig deep and support missions. Support the missionaries when they go and as they go in Jesus' name. That's a beautiful thing to do. But the psalmist is assuming that the nations have come to know God's salvation. When you know God and his salvation, his righteous judgment and his sovereign guidance of the nations is a cause for joy, not fear or alarm. So don't be afraid this morning. Be at peace. Wow, there's so much in this psalm that we need to think about. Speaking his praise, verse 3. Let all the people praise you. Who's going to praise God? All the people. That's everyone on the planet. That's not just the church. And sometimes the church let the world down by not praising them and showing how it should be done. Sometimes the church isn't as joyful as it should be, so that the world will see the joy of the Lord is their strength. So let everyone, everywhere, love and enjoy you. One translation says, and burst forth with praise. When did you last burst forth with praise? Some of you did this morning. Burst forth with praise God and sing for joy. John Wesley said, miserable Christianity is a contradiction in terms. So let's not be miserable. John Piper again. God will most likely bless us when we are planning to bless the nations, he says. There's another point implied in this main one. If God blesses his people for the sake of the nations, then God is most likely to bless us when we are planning and longing and praying to bless the nations. If God wants his good news to get to the nations, then he will fill the truck that's driving towards the nations. He will bless the church that's pouring itself out for unreached peoples of the world. And this blessing is not payment for a service rendered, it's power and joy for a mission to be accomplished. When we move forward toward the unreached peoples, we're not earning God's blessings. We are leaping into the river of blessings that is already flowing to the nations. What a great Bible teacher John Piper is. Get him on the internet. He's one that I can recommend. He's marvelous. I've been encouraged. It's stacks of stuff on Psalm 67 that he shares. God-centered worship is what it's about. We've got to worship God and then go forth in missions to glorify God. And so verse 4 says, shouting and singing his praise with joy. Oh, that's my title for it. I've not put the titles on there. So we're looking at verse 4. So, and it says, then how glad the nations will be when you are king. Let the nations, including the pagan Gentiles, you know, paganism is a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. There are pagans today. It's growing like nobody's business. And it shouldn't be. It's the church that should be growing because we're full of joy. But I tell you, the pagans in the prison that I work in are the most miserable people you could ever meet. Because they ain't got the joy of the Lord. I've got the joy of the Lord. I'm one of the happiest people in Buckley Hall most days. Especially Monday morning when everybody else is recovering from the hangovers over the weekend. The spirit we receive doesn't give you a headache. Hallelujah. Don't give you a hangover. He blesses you and you shine for him in these things. So let us, we cannot expect the nations to be glad if they do not know him. And so let's see this, verse 4. Note also in the regard that a major cause of the gladness of the church, of gladness and joy of the nations is, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. People think, oh, this will be a cause for fear and alarm if God's going to judge. No, for the believer, it's a time of hope and excitement. God's going to sort the mess of this world out one day. Jesus, as Dave prayed, is Lord over the Ukraine, over Russia, over UK, and all over the nations. One day, everything will change and there will be peace on earth because Jesus came to bring peace. He will come again and he will come and he will judge the world in righteousness and in truth. So, when you know God and his salvation, his righteous judgment and his sovereign guidance of the nation is a cause for joy, not for fear or alarm. Let me just read a story to you. It's about satisfaction that overflows towards others. Praise by its very nature begs to be expressed, doesn't it? I mean, when I saw a beautiful rainbow, I came out of Morrison's and I saw this, the best rainbow I've ever seen in all my life. And honestly, I couldn't move. And then everybody else who came out, they just stood and looked at this gorgeous rainbow with 7 colours. Some of you know what that means. And so, I couldn't just stay still. Isn't our creator great to this crowd of people, about 10 or 15 people just in awe of this rainbow? I said, I know the one who put that up there. I do, I know him. They may have thought I've come from the loony bin. That's the place where they send mental patients. Or it could be that something twigged within their hearts as well. But you know what I'm saying? You see a beautiful sunset when you're Blackstone Edge or wherever you live, a beautiful sunset. You want to tell people about it. When you know God, you want to tell people about God. When you've received his love, you want to share that love. When you've found joy in serving Jesus, you want to serve Jesus with joy. And anyone else who will come with you. So it's ultimate joy that you find in God. Not in things. It's ultimate joy in Jesus. Really. It's the truth. Oh, yes. Even if it costs you financially, if it costs pain of separation from being our loved ones, it will increase our joy and God's glory to take the gospel to the unreached nations. This is the story. In November 1858... John Patton and his new bride, Mary, landed in the New Hebrides Islands. home to fierce cannibals. 3 months later, she gave birth to a son. But 3 weeks after that, she died of complications from childbirth. And then the baby died also. Patton was devastated, but said that fellowship with Jesus sustained him through his intense loneliness. I want you to be thinking, the New Hebrides, what are they called now? You can tell me in a moment. Mary's last words were, "Oh, that my dear mother were here. She is a good woman, my mother, a jewel of a woman." As she spoke, she did not realize that a fellow missionary had heard her. When she saw him, she said, "You must not think that I regret coming here and leaving my mother. If I have the same thing to do over again, I would do it with far more pleasure, yes, with all my heart." Isn't that awesome? Today, due largely to the lifelong efforts of Patton and other faithful missionaries, those islands now called... Sorry? No, no, that's the new name. I was hoping you'd know it because I don't know how to say it. It's Vanuatu. Yeah, oh, you knew that, didn't you? Yeah, you'd forgotten that. Well, due to his efforts, there are 75... Who is it? 75% are now Protestant. And guess what? No more cannibalism on the New Hebrides. Okay. Right. God's wonderful. His word is wonderful. "For you rule with equity," it says. "They will sing with and shout, for you give true justice to the people." Are we singing and shouting here in this house to the Lord? Yes, you, Lord, are the shepherd of the nations. It says pause in his presence. When you read God's word, pause in his presence. Let it sink in. Get it. Selah. Or whatever Selah means. And then we see in verse 5, a special people. You are a chosen people, the Bible says. You are a chosen. Not just Israel. You are God's chosen people. You are chosen. You are precious. You're a trophy of grace. So true. Let the peoples praise you, O God. No wonder the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you more, and let all the people come to know you. That's the desire of God. That's what he's wishing. That's what he's longing for. And the time is against me today, but listen, there's so much in that psalm. You need to look at it. I'm just going to share some more thoughts. Oh, yeah. Satisfying harvest. Let's look at number 6. The land has yielded. The earth has yielded its harvest. It yields its harvest. This is evidence of his approval. When you go out with joy with the good news of Jesus Christ, there will be a harvest. It's guaranteed, friends. So stop thinking God doesn't love Rochdale, or God is given up on England or the UK. God loves this nation. God loves his people in this nation. And he wants his people to be full of joy and take this message to the nation to bring glory and honor to his name. And verse 7 says, surrender. My title is Surrender. Surrender to God. May God bless us still, and the blessings keep coming, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him with awe-inspired and submissive wonder. When you come into the presence of God, when you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, you know what happens? You submit, you surrender, you give him your heart, your life, your everything, because he has given everything for you. God blesses us materially so that we can bless others spiritually. If you've been blessed materially, thank God. I've got to say this from this guy called John Piper. Okay, just bear with me. The chief end of God is to glorify God and enjoy himself forever. Think about that. All my years of preaching, he says, and teaching on the supremacy of God in the heart of God has proved that this truth hits most people, listen to this, like a truck laden with unknown fruit. If they survive the impact, they discover that this is the most luscious fruit on the planet. What I am claiming is that the answer to the first question of the Westminster Catechism, The shorter catechism, if you know it, is the same when asked concerning God as it is when asked concerning man. Question: what is the chief end of man? Fantastic, Rosemary. The chief end of man, and that's woman and children, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Question: what is the chief end of God? Answer: the chief end of God is to glorify God and enjoy himself forever. Hallelujah. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect love, perfect communion, and he's sharing this with us. He's giving it away, this luscious fruit of the Holy Spirit. Another way to say it simply is God is righteous. The opposite of righteousness is to value and enjoy what is not truly valuable or rewarding. This is why people are called unrighteous in Romans 1:18. We all know that chapter if we read the Bible. They suppress the truth of God's value and exchange God for created things. So they belittle God and discredit his worth. Righteousness, friends, is the opposite. So it means recognizing true value for what it is and esteeming it and enjoying it in proportion to its true worth. I love those words. Look it up on the internet. John Piper on Psalm 67. God blesses us to the end of the earth. Israel's blessings were translated to spiritual blessings to the nations. So the blessings on the church will be translated to spiritual blessings to those in the nations. And God blesses materially. It's not so we can spend it all on selfish living. Forget that. Rather, we should use God's material blessings to bless the nations by sending and supporting, by going and taking the message of salvation to those who have not yet heard. To invest in the gospel, friends, is the best investment you'll ever make. It's to enjoy eternal joy for them and for yourself. It's to glorify God by spreading your joy in him. I'll conclude with some questions. I've preached an hour's sermon in 26 minutes, so let me ask you these questions. Are you seeking God's blessing for yourself, for your family, and your church? Those in this church, this church. You should be. It is only when you experience the blessings of God's gracious salvation that you will be glad and sing for joy in him. And it is the overflow of that joy that will bless the nations. So take time daily to rejoice in the Lord through his word. Examine your heart and judge all known sin. Ask God to bless you spiritually and materially so that you can bless the nations. Next question. Are you asking God to instill in your heart and in the hearts of your children a burning desire for the nations to be glad in him? This psalm, it's alive. It's pregnant with many blessings for you and for me. And another question. Are you being a good steward of God's material blessings so that you can use them to bless the nations? Some advice. Get out of debt. Live simply. Give joyously and generously to the Lord's work. Your gladness in God will spread to all the nations for his glory and their joy. And that's not a bad thing, is it? I'll close with a line from John Piper and then a prayer. He says, the pursuit of joy in God is not optional. It's our highest duty. So don't look miserable on me. Just think about it. The pursuit of joy in God is not optional. It's our highest duty. There is joy in serving Jesus. I tell you, one of the best times of my history in the last 33 years was when Steve and Julie went to Africa every year and shared the blessing of God. You know what happened? It rebounded. They blessed. We blessed them. We gave stuff. We did things. Other people joined in. And it bounced back to us. And we had more people in the church then than we've ever had. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? Somebody here needs to get a hold of that missionary endeavor. Somebody here needs to hear the call of God to spread this joy to the nations. It might be for 2 weeks or 2 months. It might be for a year. It might be for, like, John Patton. He never saw his parents again. Who knows? As long as we're serving the Lord. Don't wait to give to missions until you feel like it, feel you've experienced God's blessing. Giving one way to experience his blessing. Yeah, give to him now. As I think we should take up the offering again now. Joking. Thank you for listening. Let's pray.